one of the things we'll be talking about this morning is just humility. And I think that a picture of worship, am I on? No? Yeah? There we are. Yeah, you know, that picture of worship, just falling down before the Lord, you know, just that right relationship with God is so important. And so thank you for that opportunity to worship the Lord and just fall before Him. Holy, holy, holy. If you do have a Bible with you, we're going to be in chapter 1 of Proverbs. We need God's wisdom. Desperately, we need His wisdom this morning. So we're, Lord willing, going to be finishing up chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. And so, you know, last week I opened with that example of the woman who is running this half marathon, following the pace car that's supposed to lead her to the finish line, and it led her the wrong way, and so she misses out on this huge prize, a qualifying event, so a huge cost, and it wasn't her fault, you know, and it just shows how important it is to make sure, you know, obviously that you're doing the right thing, but really following the right advice. You know, you can be following and thinking you're doing the right thing, right? But it says, you know, the fool thinks he's right in his own eyes. You know, you can be following the wrong advice and you're going to follow it to your death, right? It's going to be your death and destruction. And we see that. We've experienced it. So it's so important to follow the right words. And so we looked last week about the wrong advice, right? Don't follow after sinners. He pleaded with us. You know, listen to your father, listen to your mother. Don't go after the voice of sinners. And so we saw just that example, you know, at first it seems like, of course I wouldn't listen to them. They say, hey, come hide with me. We're going to ambush, kill innocent for no reason, only to steal their treasure and take it for ourselves. And the shocking twist was the ones that they find killed on the ground isn't this innocent victim, it's them. And it's just that truth, that nugget of wisdom that when we go after dishonest gain, he says, that's who we are. Just look back at verse 19. It says, such are the ways of everyone who's greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. And so, you know, when we're greedy for dishonest gain is when we selfishly pursue things God hasn't given us through means God doesn't allow, in order to fill a hole that only He can fill. And so we saw, just, man, don't do that. And it's interesting, this week I came across a story of just that thing. There's this guy down in a tournament, fishing tournament down in Texas at a lake, and there's this amazing prize at the end. So at the end of the thing, his fish didn't measure up. And so what did he do? He took some weights and he stuck them into the fish. And he's like, okay, that's going to get me over the edge. He's thought, okay, this is going to get me the prize. And so at weigh-in, they just like, there's something suspicious about these fish. And so they looked inside, and so they killed the fish, looked inside the fish, and inside the fish was three weights. He's like, I have no idea where that came from. And they weren't rusty, they weren't old, they were brand new weights. And so they looked in his boat, they found the same weights. And so, just, man, I can just do this. I'm going to skirt the rules to get what I want, to get this prize. And now he is on trial. He's been arrested for a third-degree felony, which it's like, man, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But it's a felony because the prize was over $10,000. And so some rule makes it a felony, not a misdemeanor. And so that plus losing $10,000 plus up to 2 to 10 years in jail. And it's just that thing like, man, I could just get this. No one's going to find out. And maybe he's done this tournament before, right? We don't know. And that's the way of the wicked, right? They do it over and over and over and nothing happens. And then all at once, we're going to see this morning, it says like a whirlwind, just out of nowhere. And that's what we see in life, right? Your sin will surely find you out. And so he got more than he bit off, right? That greed for unjust gain, it takes away the life of the possessor. And so again, like, man, we don't want to follow after that voice. And so this morning, it's going to be all about finding and following the right voice. And I love this. It's the call of wisdom. Wisdom this morning is going to be portrayed like a woman. Several times in the book of Proverbs, it's going to be this woman who's just calling out. And there's several different women in Proverbs, like, this is the one you want to follow. There's going to be the voice of folly. You don't want to follow her. The voice of the adulteress. You don't want to follow her. This is the call of wisdom. Like, this is the one you want by your side, want to be speaking into your ear, listening, guiding. This is the one you want to follow. And so this morning, let's just commit. Like, this is who I want to follow. I want to follow the voice of wisdom. And so look at the first two verses. The first thing I notice, I love this, is wisdom is calling out, and her call is loud, her call is obvious, it's readily available to anyone who will listen. Listen to what it says. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the end of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. I love that because a lot of times we think about, like, wisdom is this nebulous, evasive, kind of mysterious thing. Like, man, I know it's out there, but I don't know how to find it. I don't know how to get to where she is. I think she's like this mystery X on the spot where I don't know where it is. You know, kind of like, you know, in hide and seek, like where I loved always finding like that one spot where no one could find you. And there's always like a victory when they're like, okay, we give up. Like, come out. And then like the game is over. We can't find you anywhere. We're moving on to the next game. And then you come out like, yeah, I found a spot where no one will find me. And sometimes I think we think about wisdom like that. Like, she's hiding off somewhere and I don't know where she is. I don't know how to get to her. And she's not making any noise. But is that what we have described here? Like, look at two things specifically. Look at where she is, okay? Where is she crying out? It says she cries aloud. Where? In the street. It says in the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Again, remember Proverbs, they say repeat, because a lot of times we need the repetition to let it really sink in. And so four kind of descriptions, like she's in the street. What does that mean? She's out in the public, right? She's not hiding in a closet in a house. She's out in the public. She's in the streets. This is where everybody is. This is where people are going. This is where life happens. The market is where everyone comes together. This is where you buy, sell. This is where people talk about all the different fun things that we talk about. It's saying, like, she's out there where you are. She's ready to tell you. It's a public call to anyone who passes by. And I love this. It says, you know, not just in the noisy streets, but at the head of the noisy streets. No, she's not in the dark alley of some side street on the very far corner of the city. She's like, where's the noisiest, busiest street in town? She's at the head of that street. Like, do you get what Solomon's trying to say? And then it says, at the entrance of the city gates. Like, this is the public square, the entrance of the city gates. That's where business happened. She's out there, right? And then, like, how is she calling? Is she just whispering? Is she like silent and expecting you to know what she has to say? No, it says she cries aloud. That word is like a ringing cry. It's loud and it's hard to ignore. Kind of think about like a baby crying out in the middle of the night, right? Like, you can't ignore it, right? I think God gave babies this specific loud shrieking cry because that's their only way of getting our attention, right? They can't crawl out of the crib. They can't feed themselves. So God gives them this cry that we can't ignore. And so that's the word. It's like this public, loud, ringing cry. And in the next verse, or next part of the verse, it says she raises her voice. It's a loud voice. It's like when your mom and dad raise their voice. Oh, you look up, right? You can't just ignore it. You look up. It says she calls. That call is like a loud public proclamation. Come over and listen. I have something important to say. And it says she utters her words. She speaks what is in her heart and on her mind. So what is God trying to say here? I think what he's trying to say is, like, wisdom is available. Wisdom is there. If you don't know the wise thing to do, it's not her fault. You can't blame God. You can't blame wisdom. She's trying all of the ways that she can to get her point across. If you don't have wisdom, whose fault is it? Like, it's your fault. And I think sometimes, like, there are certain situations where, like, it's just super tricky. Like, you might be in one of those right now where, like, it is so hard. Like, I see all the pros on this side, and there's almost equally pros on that side. I see this verse that can be leaning this way. I see that verse from leaning that way. It's like some situations are really, really tricky. But I think most of the time, it's really not that hard. Most of the time, like, I really know what to do. It's just I don't want to do it. Most of the time, like, I hear what she's saying, but I like that voice a little bit better. Most of the time, I think the issue isn't that I don't know. Most of the time, it's just I don't want to know, okay? And so I want you to be thinking, you know, there have been certain things that each one of us has been bringing to the book of Proverbs. It's like, man, God, I just have trouble knowing what to do in this situation, or I keep messing up and I don't know how to change my ways. This is a relationship, or this is an area of my life that I just still can't seem to figure out. And so let me ask you, is one of those kind of tricky ones, or maybe is it that you do know? She's been crying aloud in the street. She's been raising her voice in the market. She's been crying out the head of the noisy street, but you just don't want to do it because it's probably a lot harder way. It might be an embarrassing way. It might be going back down a trail you've gone a long way in the wrong direction. We're going to see the biggest step that we're each needing to make in this passage here is verse 23, if you turn at my reproof. And so maybe this morning isn't the problem, like, I just don't know what to do. It's that I just can't seem to do the right thing, and maybe I'm the problem. I know we don't like to say that, like, maybe I'm the problem, but maybe it is me. For Christmas, I got these amazing headphones, okay? They're noise-canceling headphones, okay? And so, like, it can be loud in the house. I put these on, and it's so peaceful. It's so quiet. Like, the kids can be yelling right over there, and I don't hear a single thing, okay? The dog can be doing its thing. I don't hear it all. I just put these on, and it is awesome. It's so quiet. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's me this morning. Maybe it's that, like wisdom is right there speaking really loudly, and we have these noise-canceling headphones. And so this morning, it's interesting. He's going to kind of talk about three different people this morning. And so let me just invite you to just say, maybe am I a little bit like one of these people? Maybe I'm that brand of noise-canceling headphones. Or maybe I'm this brand, or maybe I'm that brand. There's going to be three different brands of noise-canceling headphones that we're going to look at this morning. But the first step is really to say, you know what, I guess I am a little bit like that. Because in our pride, we want to say, oh, that's not me. And then we get stuck in the same pattern, doing the same thing, ignoring wisdom's call because our ears won't listen. So the very first thing I see is like, man, wisdom is readily available. Like, think about it. We have the entirety of God's word, and not just in one translation. We have so many translations. We have so many Bible study tools. We have, like, so many tools online. Like, it's everywhere. And guess what? We have God's spirit inside each one of us. We have wisdom collective in the body of Christ. Like, there is so much wisdom readily available. And so this morning, like, we're going to say, am I a little bit like this person? Am I a little bit like this person? And so go ahead and look at verse 22. And really the question in verse 22 and 23 is like, why do we struggle so much to listen? Why is it so hard to hear? And you can see, like, wisdom's calling out, and the first words we hear from her is, how long? It's this, like, exasperation. She's like, please, will you listen? How long? And you can hear that, like, she wants us to hear, but there's three people that aren't going to hear. She says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. And so right off the bat, she's just pleading with these three groups. And we're going to see these groups throughout the book of Proverbs. The simple ones, the scoffer, and then the fool. I know I don't want to be called a simpleton or a simple one. I don't want to be called a scoffer. I don't want to be called a fool. Whenever I hear fool, I think of Mike Tyson, or not Mike Tyson, Mr. T, right? I pitied the fool. I used to love the A-Team growing up, and I always think of Mr. T, I pity the fool. And I don't want to be pitied. I don't want to be the fool. Like, who wants to be called a fool? But as I've been studying this, like, I have a little bit of each of those in me. And I want to have a little less of each one of those. I want to get to the point where I don't have any of these. And so as we go through each one, I'm going to just kind of describe each one to you. And we'll look at a few different proverbs that help us understand them. But just ask the question, like, how much of that is in me? Because I have a feeling that none of us are perfectly wise. There's a little bit of fool in each one of us. There's a little bit of scoffing and a little bit of simple thinking. So let's first just look at the simple one, okay? A simple one is the Hebrew word petty. It's kind of petty, right? And it's how I would describe them is they're morally gullible and naive. Okay, like really you think about simple, like they're just so simple, like there's just not a lot there. Okay? And kind of some marks of them is like they lack wisdom and knowledge, like they're lacking on them, but they also just lack discretion. Okay, so like someone wise will come over to them and say, hey, you should do this. And they're like, oh, that sounds good. And so that's great, right? But then someone who's fool come up to them and say, you should do that. And they're like, wow, that sounds good too. They really like will follow whoever is leading them. They don't know how to decipher and discern the wisdom from the foolishness. And so they lack it, but the biggest thing is they don't know how to discern which one is it. And so look at Proverbs 7:7. It says, I've seen among the simple, so that's that same word, petty, I've perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. And so we'll look at that, what that person is in chapter 7, but it's like they lack sense. And you can see that, and maybe you've been that where you're just like, I don't know what to do. And it's a situation where most people do know what to do. You just don't know what to do. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. So yeah, sometimes they'll believe wise things and they'll do wise things, but then they equally like will go after the foolish way. And the sinner will entice them and they'll say, like, man, that sounds good. Sure, I'll do that. And so they're drug around by any voice. They're wide open, have no filter for truth, especially moral truth. Now look at Proverbs 22, verse 3. It says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Like there's danger right in front of them. It's like, you know, this cliff, and they're like, oh, I wonder what's down there. And they fall right down. You know, I kind of think like they don't know how to read signs. You know, when like you're going around and you're like going really fast, and there's this warning, hey, dangerous curve ahead. And you're supposed to, you're like, oh, I better slow down a little bit, and I better look for the curve. Which way are we turning? I'm going to slow down and turn. The simple one, they're like, oh, that's a sign. I wonder what it says. I don't know. Who cares? And they just keep going on. They don't know this is a warning. You're about to go off the edge. They don't know. They don't know the danger that's right in front of them. Or they see this box, and it says, danger, explosive material. They're like, I wonder what that means. And they throw it. Like, they don't know the danger that they're in. And they don't know the consequences they're about to face. It's not like they love the thrill of it. They just don't know. And that's kind of what I would describe. They just don't know, and they don't know what they don't know. It's a huge problem because in life, we know it. Like, two voices are always calling, the call of wisdom and the call of folly. And so if I'm a little bit like that, it's dangerous. And in chapter 9, it's interesting. We're going to have the call of wisdom and the call of folly. And notice in that passage, it says, verse 4 through 6, this is the call of wisdom. It says, whoever is simple, that's that word, okay? So wisdom is calling the simple. It says, turn in. It says, to him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live walk in the way of insight. So like wisdom is calling. She's like, hey, simple. Hey, naive. I know you don't know what you don't know. Come in and you're going to live. I have all this prepared for you. There is life waiting for you. Like wisdom is calling out. But then later in the text in chapter 9, the folly calls in verse 16. Notice like hers is just almost as convincing. She says to the same person, whoever is simple, Let him turn in here. Notice they're both calling. They're both equally loud. It says, to him who lacks sense, she says, oh, no, verse 16. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So again, you hear her calls a little bit different, right? She gives us this foolish statement, and if we're wise, we'll stop right there when she says that. Right? The first part of the call was exactly the same, but when she starts saying that stolen water is sweet, immediately the wise says, no, I know that's not true. I know that's not true, and we don't go in. But the fool says, oh man, that sounds pretty convincing, falls in there, and what does it say? That is the way to death. It's not like they're running after sin. They just don't have that discretion. And so let me ask you, like, is there a little bit of that in you? For each one of these, I want to take a little test and just give a few questions, because I think at first we'll all say, of course not, of course not. But let me just ask, you know, how often do you struggle to determine right and wrong? Like the simple one, they struggle. They just, man, which voice? I don't know what to do. A lot of times they don't know what to do. How often do you struggle to determine right and wrong? How often do you find yourself making the wrong decision? You're like, I don't want to make the wrong decision, but you like have a pattern and you don't like it, but you just do it a lot. How often do you find yourself making bad decisions? Do people often come to you for advice? Do you find like, man, no one really asks me for advice? Maybe everyone else sees it and they don't because they know they're going to get bad advice from you. Or you're the one who usually has to go to others for advice. And I put on a scale of 1 to 10. Are you a simple one or are you wise? And I want us to pray and think about, like, maybe I'm a 5. I'm not like super, super wise, but I'm not a fool. I'm not simple. But I want to grow more wise. What would it look like this week for you to become more wise? Maybe there's some verses on the back that I've given us for each of those three. There's some verses for the simple one. And again, man, my challenge is the biggest way we're going to grow in wisdom is to get it into our lives. We need to get it into our lives. And so if you just realize a lot of the times I don't know what to do, make sure you're in the Word. Like the Word, a lot of times, especially Proverbs, lays it out. It lays it out so clearly. And after time, if you read it over and over, not just like this month, read it every day, but like make it a pattern. Like I'm going to go through the Proverbs once a year. And guess what? Next year, it's going to be like, oh yeah, I already can complete that proverb because I know it and I've actually started applying it. If you keep on going back to wisdom over and over, it imprints itself onto your mind. And so you start seeing it in ways that you didn't. You start actually seeing it and applying it in ways that it didn't directly apply to. Just go back over and over and over, humbly, needy, dependent on God. That's how we become less simple and more wise. So the next person we talk about, like this is actually the worst. The scoffer is the worst possible kind of fool. They're marked by a couple things. Pride. Hatred of wisdom, and just mocking, laughing at wisdom. And so it's a prideful fool who hates and mocks wisdom. I put on their less, and I felt really bad because that's not how you pronounce it, okay? That's the English transliteration, but the asade is that Y-looking word, and it actually is a T-S, so it's more let's. So let's, so you're good, let's, and I think you're a good, wise guy. But it's this Hebrew word, let's. And really what it literally means is like one who mocks. And so let's is mocking. And so this is someone who just mocks. And what they do is they don't just mock anything, they mock wisdom. So like here's wisdom, and they just laugh at it. Like, that is so stupid, that is so foolish. I hate wisdom. And any time and any opportunity they get, they just laugh at it. And so what you see, the first thing we're going to see is like, you don't do that unless you have a lot of pride, right? Like, no one humble, no one with humility is going to laugh at God and his wisdom. And so the first mark of this scoffer, is pride. And so Proverbs 21:24, scoffer is the name of the arrogant. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Okay, are you seeing a theme in that verse? Like, if you want to name, get like put a name to the prideful, arrogant person, their name is scoffer. And I think the biggest and the hardest thing about this is it's really, I think, the toughest of these three to really overcome. Each one of them has a little bit of pride, but like this person is just seeping with pride. And pride is the biggest thing, I think, that keeps us from wisdom. Right? You're never going to go seeking wisdom when you already think you have it. You're never going to ask somebody when you think you know everything. And this person really is unteachable. You know, the girls, Brielle and Olivia, had a basketball banquet. And so they were talking about all the different players and kind of praising the different players. And one word kind of kept coming back to me. And as I was thinking about this passage and then that night, was coachability. And one of the biggest praises from the coach could be like, she's so coachable. And that's so true in life. Like, I think about that even in my basketball playing. Like, you can have a lot of ability. Like, you're really good. But over time, the person who isn't coachable, what do? They just stay the same, right? Their same weaknesses are there, and they become liabilities. They keep making the same mistakes, and coach tells them over and over, and they won't fix them, so he stops playing them. They get the ball stolen because they won't switch hands. Their shot still is not going in because they won't listen about getting the elbow in. Right? All those things, they aren't coachable, and they're the ones who just stay the same, and everyone else, even the ones who weren't as talented, who are coachable, start growing. The coach puts them in. They start playing more, and they get good instruction, and they find out their faults. They grow and grow and grow, and that person just stays the same. And so when I think of the scoffer, it's the person who just keeps doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. And so you go and try to talk to them. And notice what happens when you talk to them. It says, Proverbs 15:12, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. Right? Scoffers, you can't tell them anything, right? They don't go to ask you for anything, and they don't like it when you go to them to tell them anything. Scoffer hates to be corrected. And guess what? They don't change. They keep suffering over and over. They keep falling into the same pit and trying to get out because they keep doing it because they won't listen. Not only that, they hate wisdom. It goes beyond like a simple refusal. They hate it. They attack anyone who brings it to them. In chapter 9, verse 7 and 8, it says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Like, man, have you seen that? Like, you go in and even lovingly, just like trying to lay out the truth, even doing it with a love sandwich, you know, like one positive thing and then one thing to correct and then another positive. Like, you do everything, you pray about it, and then you get beat up when you go and try to talk to them. It says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And so again, they hate wisdom and they mock wisdom. And so it's this evil, really character trait that keeps us trapped. It keeps us trapped, right? Our pride, we won't listen. Anybody that tries to share with us, we won't listen. Whenever a verse comes up and it applies to our situation, we won't listen. And so we stay the same. And God's crying out, wisdom's crying out, but we have our headphones on and we won't listen. And so here's a few tests this morning for scoffing. And here's the sad part. Probably if you have a little bit of scoffing in you, you're probably the last person to know. Because even as we're going down this list, we'll say, because pride's like character, like this is so much part of us. We'll like, nope, that's not me. That's not me. And so I just plead with you, would we just stop for a second and say, man, I don't want to, I've been beating myself up over and over, and I don't want to do that anymore. Is there a little bit of this in me? And so like, how often do you admit you're wrong? How often do you find yourself admitting wrong, especially to somebody else? Like, how often do you find yourself admitting yourself wrong to somebody else? How do you handle criticism? Even when it's given the right way or when it's given the wrong way? Are you able to take that nugget of truth throughout the rest and not attack the person who gave it? Not just tear them apart? How do you handle criticism? Would you be described as teachable or coachable or unteachable, uncoachable? How often do you find yourself mocking or attacking others, especially over character issues? And I think that's one of our biggest defense mechanisms when we have this pride and scoffing in us, is when somebody comes to us, we just attack everything about them, right? We mock them, we laugh at them, because we don't want to admit maybe what they had to say is right. You find yourself, when someone comes to you, you just mock them, attack them. They're trying to bring wisdom, and they become the enemy. Again, as you go through this week, look up those passages, ask God, would you please root this out of me? So finally, the fool. And this is the one we're going to hear about most often in the book of Proverbs. It's over and over, the fool, the fool, the fool. In fact, there's two different words for fool. The one right here is the word kasil. The word kasil means it's someone who not only lacks wisdom, so they're kind of like the simple one. They lack wisdom, but they also love folly. It's like they don't just like not know what to do, and they lack wisdom, but they just love folly. They're like, man, this is the best way to live. I love riding down that trip. I love taking the path of folly. They don't just not know wisdom, but they love the path of folly. First thing I notice as we look through a couple of different Proverbs is this kind of desensitization to evil and the consequences of folly. So they're like desensitized. They don't know really the truth and the goodness of wisdom and really the evilness of evil. Like, they've been desensitized to it. Proverbs 10:23 says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. Like, they love doing it. Like, it's like a joke. They don't even see how serious this is. They become so desensitized to evil, it's like a joke to them. Hey, this is fun. Let's just take this trip and see where it goes. Not realizing, like, this is evil. This is wrong. It's not a joking matter. It says, but wisdom is a pleasure to a man of understanding. You know, we talked about, like, that box of explosives, and the simple one doesn't know the damage and the danger. The fool is a little bit different. He knows the danger, but he's like just making a joke. And so he's like, hey, let's play hot potato. Oh, let's throw it around. This is fun. And so it takes it to another extreme, right? It's even farther than the simple one. Proverbs 14:16 says, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Right? They see like this dangerous path with all these booby traps and explosives and pits, and they're like, hey, let's make a game about this, right? The wise is like, hey, no, I'm not going down that path. Let's take the right path. The fool is like, hey, let's make a game about this. Let's be as reckless and foolish and careless as we can. This is another one, and it makes me something like, I need to be careful how much I talk. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Like, the fool loves to talk, right? And after a while, you find out, like, they don't really know what they're talking about. But, like, in every situation, they seem to know everything about everything, right? They have an opinion about everything, but they just love to hear their own voice. The fool loves to talk, but don't usually know what they're talking about. And this one I thought was really, really interesting picture. They wouldn't even know what to do with wisdom if it was like right in front of them and given to them. Proverbs 26:7 says, like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like, think about that. Like, a lame man, they have legs, but like they don't do anything. Like, they're more of a liability than a strength. Like, they can't use them. They don't even know how to use them. They don't have the ability to use them. And so, like, the fool, like, they probably could even tell you what the proverb means, but they don't know what to do with it. And so they have it right there, and then they make the foolish decision, right? It's like you have a hammer and a nail, but you don't know what to do with them, right? You have all these tools, but you're just like, I don't know what to do. And so, like, it doesn't do any good if you're a fool. Let me just do real briefly. There's another word, aweel, or aveel. And it's actually the one that we found in Proverbs 1:7, where it says, the fool hates wisdom and instruction. And this is very similar to the one we've been talking about. Like, they're just fools, right? But there's an even more evilness to their foolishness and a more stubborn part to their foolishness. So this is like a fool, but like an evil, stubborn fool. And so Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools mock at the guilt offering. So it's even more evil. They laugh at it, but the upright enjoy acceptance. And I thought this was interesting. Proverbs 27:22, crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain. Like, just, all right? You're just, and it says, yet his folly will not depart from him. Like, it's so much ingrained in him. That's where I thought the word stubborn was really good. Like, you can't separate the fool from his folly, right? Like, it is so much a part of him because he refuses to change. And so on a test from level of 1 to 10, where are you? So a couple of different questions. How often do you find yourself joking about things that really aren't funny? Like, about things that are serious, or you just laugh at them? Do you find yourself often desensitized to foolish and sinful things? Do you have a hard time understanding consequences? Right, the fool, really, they don't get it. Like, they don't realize how big a deal it is. They're like at the top of a tall building, walking along the edge, and like, this is fun. Hey, no, you could die. They don't know how dangerous their situation is. Do you have a hard time understanding certain consequences? Do you often find yourself confidently expressing your opinions? How often does your advice work out well for others and for yourself? How often do you find yourself making the same mistakes over and over again? How often do people give up trying to train or instruct you because you're just so stubborn? You know, I know I have a little bit of each one of those, and I want to root those out more and more. And so I love that the good news is that we don't have to stay that way. I do say the scoffer is the hardest one to change. It's like really ingrained, but maybe today you're like, I am a little simple. I want to be more wise. I am a little bit of a fool. I am a little bit of a scoffer. And sometimes we feel like, okay, that's just who I am, right? Like, I'm trapped. I'm just, that's who I am. But look what it says. It says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? What's keeping you there? You want to stay there, right? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? She's saying, you don't have to. Don't keep doing it. Give it up. Fools hate knowledge. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And like, I think verse 23 is so hopeful, right? It's like, man, if you would just turn, it's available and I will train you. I'll pour out my spirit. And I love that song that we sang, Spirit, Lead Me. Like, God's spirit wants to lead us. What's keeping us from being led by the Spirit? Walking in our own way, in our own strength, right? And so there's one real simple key. Like, if there's any of these in you, the one key thing keeping you from doing it is like being stuck in the same path, right? What keeps each one of those there is they love being simple. Like, the simple one, like, I love it. I'm just going to be that way. The scoffer delights. The fool hates knowledge. And it says, if you will turn. And this word is the Old Testament word shuv. It means like to repent. Like, a lot of times we say, hey, you need to repent. What it means is to turn away from going your own way. And I love it. It means to turn back and return. Like, turn back, return. And wisdom's crying out to us. And I think so often God's saying, hey, son and daughter, I hate the way that you're going. How long will you go down this path? It's killing you. Please turn, turn. And this morning, maybe the key this morning for each of us is that we turn back. And what it takes first is turning away, like giving up. Like, if we love being simple, if we delight in scoffing, if we hate wisdom, we're never going to turn away from the going the same way and stuck in our path. And so I thought this week, like, what's an example in Scripture of this? The prodigal son, right? Like, he had gone his own way. He ran 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction, the way of fools, right? And I noticed, like, the father was waiting, but who had to return? The son. And he wasn't going to return until he was just done, right? He went on and on and on following his own way, and he didn't come back. He didn't return till he was just done and just fed up with his sinful living. And listen to these verses in the Gospel of Luke. It says, when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. He began to be in need. He went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Like, he had gone down lower and lower and lower to where he is now worse than the pigs. Like, he's like, man, that looks really, really good. And so, like, he had to get to the pit of despair, right? He had to be completely fed up with his current way. And then I love it. It says in verse 17, when he came to himself. What I think that means is, like, he finally woke up and he looked around and said, like, is this the life I want? Is this really what I want? Do I want to be feeding pigs and longing to eat the stuff that they eat? Like, this is, like, in Israel culture, like, the worst animal. Like, you, those are unclean, filthy animals, and you're lower than them in the filth and mud. He's like, I don't want it anymore. Like, I don't want it anymore. So this morning, like, you're not going to change. I guarantee not much difference is going to happen this week unless you're like, I don't want it anymore. Like, I'm sick of this path, this over and over and over. I'm done. Like, I'm in the filth and the mud and the dirt, lower than a pig, and I'm done. And so she cries out. She says, turn. And it takes us just giving up, surrender. Like, I give up, God. I don't want to be a fool anymore. I don't want to be the stubborn scoffer. I don't want to be the simple one anymore. And so it says, just giving up on following our ways and turning towards God, seeking his wisdom and following his way. And she warns us, and this is a powerful warning, there's going to be a day of reckoning. Like, we can be going and going and going. Remember that fisherman? We don't know how long he's been doing, but there's a day of reckoning. And just read, we're going to read real briefly. Verse 24, she says, because I called and you refused to listen, right? What kept you from getting it? You refused. You said, I don't want it. I don't want it. She says, because you refused to listen, stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you ignored all my counseling and would have none of my reproof. What she's describing is someone who, time after time, they've been given the chance. They're like, I don't want it. I'm fine. I like this. I don't want it. It's someone who refuses to turn from their own way. Look what happens. Verse 26, it says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes. When the terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Like, first of all, like, I don't like to be laughed at. Like, she uses language that will be mocked and will be laughed at. Like, no one likes to be laughed at, right? I hate it when someone mocks me. And it's a powerful descriptor here. And I think it's important we realize, like, this isn't God mocking us. This isn't God laughing at us. It's this really picture of when you face the consequences for your decision and get what you get because you refuse to listen to wisdom, in a sense, she is laughing at you. And doesn't it feel like that when we face the consequences? And she's been telling us over and over and over again. We're like, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, right. And then we fall down with our face in the mud and she's laughing at us. God wants us to know it's not going to feel very good. And we're going to remember, and we're going to know, man, why did I hate that call? Why didn't I listen? She's laughing at me. Wisdom is crying out. She's mocking me. It's not going to feel very good. And so he reminds us, like, if you don't listen, hey, guess what? It's not going to feel very good. No one likes to be mocked. And a second thing I notice is, like, no one likes calamity, terror, distress, and anguish.
Did you listen to those four different words he talked about? Like, it's going to come upon you, right? And over in Scripture, what we see is, like, even the psalmists wrestle with it. Like, they're like, man, doing good, it's so hard, and the way of evil seems so good. Like, they have everything, and they don't have to worry about anything. And over it says, like, that's the way it looks. But over and over it says, like, look down to the end of the road. At the end of the road, they always get what's coming. And you might think, well, like, man, that person didn't get what they're coming in this life. They're going to get it in the next. And almost always, they're going to get it in this life. If you look far enough down the path of the fool leads to a pit of destruction. The path of the scoffer gets to where wisdom is mocking them as they're on the ground. Like, calamity is going to come upon them. Terror, destruction. Notice how it says, like a whirlwind. Whirlwinds come out of nowhere. Like, when we live down in North Texas, like, you hear this siren and, like, 3 a.m, and you knew, like, there might be a tornado and you might only have a couple minutes to get there. Like, just comes out of nowhere. And that's the way of the fool. They're like, I'm getting everything I like, and it's so easy, and then boom. Like, they don't even see it coming. And, like, I don't want that for me. I don't want that for my family. I don't want that for any of us here. Wisdom is crying out. She's like, how long? How long? Don't wait. Like, repent, return today. And then verse 28 through 31 just says there's a time when, like, it's too late. You know, so many times we don't get all and the severity of the consequences that we deserve, but sometimes we do, right? Sometimes, like, you murder somebody and you go to jail for life. And you can repent and you can confess and God will forgive you for that, but you still have to spend life in prison, right? There's a point of no return. There is a time where you just get the consequences that you have built for yourself by walking down this path. And so look about verse 28. It says, they'll call on me, but I won't answer. Like, he's saying it's too late. They'll seek me diligently, but won't find me. Because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way. Right? There's consequences. You're going to get them. They have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fool destroys them. Okay, I don't want that. Like, we're all here, like, please, Lord, I don't want to go my own way. So any part of a fool, simple one, and scoffer, please root that out of me. And so let's turn away from that. But what do? We got to turn towards God. I love the last verse. It says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease, without dread of disaster. And so there's peace, security, there is joy in following the path of wisdom. So I want to give you three things. I think it looks like turning to God. Like, change is hard, right? Changing directions is hard. First, develop a posture of humility. Proverbs 3:34 says, toward the scorner he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. Like, there's a pattern, a kind of formula in Scripture. Like, if you want God on your side, humble yourself before him. Right? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's like, if you want the blessings of God, if you want this verse 33, the first step is, like, just humble yourself. Like, humble yourself before him. We have to stop trusting in ourselves. Whenever we have our hand full of trust in ourselves, we can't open it up and grab onto him. So we have to give up trust in ourselves and trust in him. Second, I think it really leads into a sense of dependence. It's like, I give up, Lord. I am humble before you, and I need you. And so what I think a sense of dependence means is, like, I'm gonna talk a lot to you today, God. And I'm sorry I haven't been talking to you very much, but I know I can't trust myself anymore. I am a little bit of a fool. And so, God, we're going to be talking a lot today. I'm going to have some decisions to make, and I'm going to be reaching out to you. I need you. Like, when you need somebody, you know you need them, you're talking to them all the time. And so this is a sense of dependence. You know, one of the most famous sections in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, look at this dependence. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So what would dependence look like for you today? like this week. I think it's been a lot of talking to God, right? A lot of asking instead of telling. Probably a lot of searching, a lot of memorizing, a lot of dependence on Him. We talked about, you know, the idea of the Spirit. Following the Spirit is like a step-by-step process. You know, that word, walk, is this word, like step-by-step. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Like, the Spirit doesn't oftentimes, like, download everything for your whole life, right? No way. He doesn't often download your whole month, right? You don't just check in with Him once a month or even once a day. Like, what does it talk about, like, dependence, like, walking by the Spirit? What does that mean? It's like step by step. And so I'm looking, where are we going? I'm not taking a step until you say, God. Oh, you're okay, we'll go there. It's this step, it's like this consistency. And so that's that last thing, develop a habit of consistency. Like, God, we're going to check in. And it's going to be like once a day, like we're going to be doing a big check-in. I'm going to spend time praying, looking in your word, and throughout the day we're going to be checking. Like, we're forming a habit here. Like, no habits just form through inconsistency. So, like, what would, like, a consistent habit of dependence and humility before God look like? Like, how can you do that this week? What would that look like? You know, wisdom's calling, she's pleading, how long, how long? So that's my call to us. How long are we going to stay in our own way? And when will we return to our first love, following step by step the Spirit who leads us? Let's pray. God, we need you. Not just today, not just this month. God, we need you right now, right here. We need your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your empowerment, your strength, and your wisdom and your guidance, your vision. And so, God, as we depend on you, would you give us what we need? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the knowledge that we don't possess. Give us the wisdom that we lack. When we're stuck in our stubborn pride, would your Spirit and others who love us root it out of us and show us what it's going to lead to. And show us what wisdom leads to. Because we need you and we need your wisdom. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.